Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending December 12th. I'm Linda Hechtel.
And I'm Allison Cranky.
And we're bringing you the latest news in environmental, health, and safety. So in our first story, Allison, I understand that you have an update on emission trends in Canada?
Yeah, so earlier this week, Environment Canada reported that Canada is falling significantly short of being able to meet its international 2020 climate change commitment. Environment Canada is a science-based government department responsible for protecting Canada's natural environment, and their 2014 emissions report says that even if the economy tanked and global oil and gas prices continue declining, Canada would still fail to meet the commitment it made under the Copenhagen Accord, which was to cut greenhouse gases 17% below 2005 levels by 2020. So Canada has managed to decrease greenhouse gas emissions, also called GHG emissions, by strictly regulating its transportation and electricity sectors, which are two of the largest sources of these emissions in Canada. As a result of these regulations, 2025 passenger vehicles and light trucks will emit about half as many GHGs as 2008 models, and GHG emissions from 2018 model year heavy-duty vehicles will be reduced by up to 23%. Canada has also renewed a focus on clean electricity generation by banning construction of traditional coal-fired electricity generation units. However, this week that report warned that as the economy grows, total emissions are in fact projected to increase, not decrease. The rising GHG emissions in the oil and gas sector will almost completely cancel out the decreases in greenhouse gases that we've seen in the electricity generation sector. So Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper has been promising to regulate the oil and gas industry since 2008, but so far this action seems to keep being postponed. This week, Harper was adamant that regulations to this sector would not happen. Referencing the decline in oil and gas prices, the Prime Minister stated that regulations to that sector would actually be crazy economic policy. However, in a somewhat contradictory move, environment ministers from four of Canada's provincial governments met this week in Lima, Peru, where an international climate conference is underway. So environment ministers from British Columbia, Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec represent about 80% of Canada's population, and they were there to sign an agreement to set targets with 12 other subnational governments, including those from New South Wales in Australia and Scotland. Some of these ministers suggest that the agreement is necessary because their national governments don't seem to be prepared to move with the urgency required. So it seems like there might be interesting discrepancies that begin to arise between Canadian provincial and federal policies when it comes to regulating emissions in the oil and gas industry and possibly in other industries as well. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that in the year ahead. And in the meantime, if you'd like to read the Environment Canada report yourself, you can find a link in the resources section of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And Linda, I think you're going to cover a story on solar power?
Yes, I am. So today's story is about, as you said, solar energy, and it's specifically about a trend that seems to be emerging. So Massachusetts is bringing solar power to public housing. So 16 public housing authorities in Massachusetts signed a deal that it will allow them to either have panels installed on rooftops of their properties or buy power from a solar power plant using metered credit. In previous podcasts, we have discussed the cost of rooftop solar power. Traditionally, it has been very cost prohibitive and expensive, especially for low-income homeowners and even tenants that are looking for other choices in energy sources. So now this group of 16 has more choice after signing a purchasing power agreement with Sun Edison. Under this new solar program, solar can be installed on site or come from one of 10 projects that are located throughout the state. The public housing authorities can either buy the energy from their own system, which is owned and operated by Sun Edison at no cost to them, or they can buy credits and purchase solar power generated from one of the other 10 projects that Sun Edison is running. So either way, they get fixed, low-cost electricity rates. And ultimately, it's expected to save them a combined $60 million while preventing carbon emissions of about 200,000 cars. Sun Edison owns and operates the solar systems as part of YieldCo and Terraform Power. Another thing that's really interesting that's going on in Massachusetts is there's another bulk purchasing program by Solarize Massachusetts, which makes solar available to individuals and businesses at prices cheaper than fossil fuels. So overall, it really looks like Massachusetts has great strides as it relates to solar energy, and let's see if this is going to be a growing trend. So now, Allison, I understand that you have an update from NIOSH.
I do. So continuing with our theme this season of creating a health and safety work environment for retail workers, I have some more tips for retail employers and workers to keep in mind year-round, but especially during the holiday season. So many retail workers, such as sales associates and cashiers, have hardly any opportunity to sit during their shift and absolutely no opportunity to sit in some cases. With the craziness of this season, shifts can be especially long and very demanding, and that can be hard on a person's body if it's being done for an extended period of time, say for the entire month of December. Of course, retail workers aren't the only ones that may be required to be on their feet for a long period of time. Employees who work on a manufacturing line may also have this issue, as well as nurses and doctors who must stand for hours at a time during surgical procedures, and there are many other examples as well. NIOSH conducted a review of literature on the subject of prolonged standing in the workplace, and based on the research, they concluded that there are a number of associated negative health outcomes.
So, Allison, what does NIOSH define as prolonged standing?
Well, prolonged standing is defined as either continuously standing for over 1 hour or standing for over 4 hours over the course of the day. And the studies that NIOSH reviewed consistently showed that this prolonged standing led to increased reports of low back pain, physical fatigue, muscle pain, leg swelling, tiredness, and body part discomfort. There's also a lot of evidence to suggest that standing in one place particularly increases the risk of low back pain. One of the most effective suggestions then for reducing this pain and discomfort is to allow workers to have movement during work, so allow them to walk around or easily shift from standing to sitting or leaning postures. In other words, don't have the same person working the cash register the whole day. Allow them the chance to switch back and forth between the floors so that they can stretch out their legs, or consider allowing them the option of sitting for a few minutes every hour.
So what else can be done to make long periods of standing more comfortable?
Well, NIOSH also recommends interventions such as floor mats, shoe inserts, and even compression stockings. Some associations for specific groups of workers, such as nurses associations, also have suggested time limits for prolonged standing. So paying attention to those could help as well, or developing your own internal policy to address this concern. And for workers this holiday season, NIOSH makes a point of calling out high heels in the workplace, saying that those who wear high heel shoes during these prolonged standing periods are at an increased risk of developing musculoskeletal pain conditions. So if you work at a high-end store, high heels may be the norm, but given the research, you might want to consider wearing flats instead. And I hope that everyone has a safe and happy holiday season.
Thank you, and that's it for this week of EHS.